I forgot that they're in the bulletin, but I got so many things, balls in the air, that I just missed it. Your faith promise is here. What we would like for you to do is consider your giving for 2016 and fill it out, and you can either send it or bring it and put it in the offering plate for next year. This is the faith promise part is really about the operating budget that we have. The little card here is about our building fund. We have $1 million loan. If you got $1 million sitting around, we could take care of that tomorrow. But if you don't, we would like you to also make a pledge in terms of that. This one has your name on it. The faith promise does not have your name on it because we're not as concerned about having your name and how much you're going to give as we think God should have in terms of your thought patterns. And so that just gives us a little bit of a guide as to where we are. This one, this card is more about the bank than it is about the church. We will have in our operating budget enough to for the loan in case no one gives to the building fund. But so far this year, we have avoided using operating budget money to pay for the loan. On top of which, we have also managed to get a $35,000 kids stuff out there and pay off the rest of the roof. So we're doing okay, but that's for this. So let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you speak to us each today about how we use our, not only our thoughts, but our words in this life. And I ask that you kind of guide us. I ask that you empower these words that they might be a word for each of us from you. In some form or fashion, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week I talked about giving thanks for one another, and I want to kind of expand on that and look at our practical day, everyday life, where we can be a blessing to other people. But first of all, I need us all to be aware that we can be a blessing or a curse, so I would like for you to read with me James chapter 3, verses 5 to 10, which is in your bulletin, which they'll probably put up here too. So here we go. So the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the cycle of nature, and setting on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no human being can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Everybody gets to make a choice whether to be a blessing or a curse in this life. That includes you and me. The tongue is a powerful thing. By the use of our tongues, we create life or we bring death. You can build somebody up with your speech or you can crucify them with your speech. You can speak well of someone or you can slander someone. What you say brings life or death, and we are pretty flippant with this. At times. Every time when I get up to speak to you, I know that what I say can either be a blessing or a curse, sometimes mixed blessings. I know that it's important for me to be diligent and responsible in what I say. This is not a soapbox up here for my personal views, but it is a place from which hopefully God's word goes forth. The tongue is attached, and I know that what I say is either going to be a blessing or a curse. I want us to be a people who are intentional in our blessing others with our speech, and I want us to be intentional people of blessing, and I think we need to recognize the importance and power of speaking blessings on people when we're just together with them. When we get together as the body of Christ, we should not speak ill of anybody. We should speak well of one another. We should speak blessings on one another. Now, if you've ever been over to somebody's house and spent time together, make sure that when you do that, that you take time to bless them. In other words, to encourage them, to strengthen them. You know, we're all trying to get through this world, and it is so easy to talk about people in negative ways, and those negative ways are curses. This world will bring us all down. We don't need any help. The world will take care of that for us. It is very good about running people down, and we do not need to help the world out. It's just as easy to speak a blessing as it is a curse. It's just as easy to speak good about people as it is to say mean things about them. When we get together with friends, make sure you bless one another. Bless one another. You know, I do a lot of visitation in people's houses over the years. I've been doing it all the time. When I learned a long time ago to make it very intentional to say a blessing over that household. Most of you, if I've been in your house, have been a recipient of that blessing at one time or another. Sometimes you might be aware of it, but most of the time you probably aren't even aware of it. I don't make a big deal about it, but I like to bless houses. When I was younger, and I can still run, I used to run by houses all the time, and I would pray for the people in those houses, most of which I did had no idea who they were. And what I do, though, when I go into intercessory prayers, words of blessing, I speak words about the abounding of God's grace upon the people, that the wisdom of God be in those families. I pray for provision to make sure that God takes care of them and that the health of God is there and heals them if there's illness. And I believe that with all my heart, it's not a matter of my energy, but it's just a simple matter of my understanding that I am called to partner with God in blessing people. And I speak it sometimes, and I let the life of God flow, but I let the power of God back it up. If I leave a deposit, you might say, a gold leaf wherever I go. And you can do that too. There is on every one of our tongues the possibility of blessing or curse. We are the seed of Abraham, which has been told to us in the Bible. We are part of the ministry of all believers as his people. We have the capacity to speak life, to deposit life in wherever we go. We can do it at meals. You can consider the opportunity for blessing at that. You know, you can thank God for our food, but you can also adopt that time to pray for certain people and situations and circumstances. And I believe that a great deal of blessing can be accomplished at meals. Now, I'm sure that within the context of this congregation, that has probably happened many, many times within this congregation where you've prayed at meals. Let me just raise it up to you again as a possibility. We are a people of blessing. While I'm at it, I appreciate the many times, be that those of you who have prayed for my family and my life. Sometimes you've done it verbally, but I also know that there's a lot of them that are nonverbal. I like that. I appreciate that. As pastor of this church, one of the things I tell people who join this church, and I told Phyllis last week when I was talking to you, I pray for each and every person who is on the roll of this church as a member. I say, this is part of what you get when you join the church for what it's worth, and you can determine what you think that's worth. But you have my covering in terms of prayer as spiritual leader of this congregation. I do it because I love you, because God loves you, and because I'm pastor of the church, and I am called to cover you with prayer. It's part of what I do. Let life flow with your words and prayers. When I pray for you, I pray that the Lord will keep you safe, keep you from fear, keep you from circumstances that will bring destructive things in your life. I take tours in people's lives, so I know a lot of things that go. I pray for the sick. I pray for those that are weak in the faith, those who are sorely tempted in the body. I pray that you will, that God will hold you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for those who have faced discord and disharmony and strife in terms of marriage and family. I pray that peace will come into your life situations. Sometimes I'm aware of those situations, sometimes I'm not. Those are prayers that I speak over you, covering you, about you, and it has very little to do with the budget and what you give me in terms of that. Prayers and blessings, somehow they come together. They're one at the same time. By speaking prayers, power is released when you do that. Speaking words of blessing rather than just thinking words of blessing is important. Doesn't it enrich you or encourage you when someone speaks to you words of encouragement and blessing? Now, if I've done it to you, I could have kept it to myself, never blessed you with the words. It's kind of like this sermon. So speak words of blessings on people instead of just thanking them. Read with me 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Here we go. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love of the brethren, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing. For he that would love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do right. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. How many times have you said bad things about other people or maybe to their face? Then you realized after you said it, either in their presence or with somebody else, that I really want to take that back. That what you said to them was a destructive word. You know, that is exactly what a curse is. When you curse somebody, you're just saying something ugly to them or about them. I know I've done it, and I know you've done it too. A destructive word is a curse, and a constructive word, a building word, is a blessing. We literally create things by our speech. We need to be careful what we say. We were created in the image of God, and the way that God creates is he speaks things into being, and so do we. I know that by the power of my speech, I can either build you up or tear you down. There's a story told about Winston Churchill and Lady Astor. Now, Lady Astor did not like Winston Churchill at all. And they were at a party together, and Winston got drunk. And Lady Astor came up to him and says, "Mr. Churchill, you are drunk and disgusting." And Winston, in all his wisdom, said, "You're right, madam. I am drunk and I am disgusting. But you're ugly. And tomorrow morning I will be sober, but you will still be ugly." You can either build up or tear down. It doesn't matter. I can make you feel good or I can make you feel bad. I can bring a word of instruction or I can bring a word of destruction. I can teach or babble up here and waste your time and mine as well. Sometimes I catch myself getting ready to say something, but I don't say it because I figure out, oh, That's going to do damage. You know, it's that old saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. And I have been thankful on occasion because I didn't say anything at all. You know, one of the things that my life is made up of meetings. I don't know how many meetings I've been in. There's just unbelievable amounts of meetings. And meetings can go sour. Things can happen in meetings. And I've learned a trick. It's actually a principle. Never react. Always respond. When you react to something, you just do it it's like a knee-jerk reaction. But when you respond, you put a little distance between it, and you think about it. And then you make a response. And it's very good to do with people that way, too. But you have to think about it. You have to be intentional about it. You have to pay attention to what you're doing. But if we're God's agents, we need to pay attention. You know, I've held my tongue at times, and later on, you know, either whatever the problem was, that person may have redeemed themselves or came to the realization of what was involved and responded in a positive way. You know, I have come to the realization sometimes that my anger is unfounded. Now, I don't know how many times I've held my tongue and thanked God afterwards, but it's been a lot of times. I don't know how many of our marriages in this church have strong walls of separation built into them because of harsh words, but I will guarantee you that every one of us who is married have on occasion said harsh words to our spouse. Words that have brought death into our marriage. Those things build up over a period of time. They need to be dismantled and taken away apart one by one if necessary to make the whole thing, the whole marriage, a loving relationship. Our harsh words are death dealing. They bring death to marriages. They bring death to children, to husbands and wives, and they need to be cut out from us. You know, if you tell a child long enough that he or she can't sing or can't get good grades or is irresponsible or can't play baseball or basketball or is bad, pretty soon you're going to have programmed that kid and they are irresponsible and bad, and that's what you're going to get. You won't get good grades. They can't sing. I had a gal down in Kentucky one time. She was going through the great banquet, and I was just talking to her about her life. She had some issues, and I said, Pam, how come you don't sing in church? Because I've watched you on this banquet, and you're singing fine. And she said, I was told by the nuns that when I was in grade school not to sing because I was terrible. Words had kept her from singing. You know, if you run a person down long enough, you bring death upon them. I hope you husbands and wives are listening. I hope you parents are listening. I hope all of you are listening. What we need to do is exchange those harsh words for words of blessing to one another. Words of blessing. Words of harshness bring death, folks. They are death-dealing. But the wisdom of God will fill our hearts and let us give us understanding in terms of how powerful our words are, and you can bring words of encouragement instead of death. You can bring blessing instead of curse. The words you speak have power. And it is important that we not mistake that. There will always be people who abuse this truth. God has put the power of speech in our tongue because it is a creative power, but it is a blessing or a curse. And if we name the name of Jesus as Savior and we're in that process of making Him Lord of our lives, then we need to remember that our words, our speech, is not just ours to use of our own free will, but we are to be stewards of our voice as well. It's something that God has given us, a gift, and it needs to be exercised with wisdom and stewardship and without presumption. The call on us is not only to bless our families and our friends, but a people that we visit, people that we might sit down to eat with, people that we might work with, people that live next to us, people that we encounter in our daily pathways of life. I have four kids, and all of them, while they were growing up, they said their prayers at night, and they would get into this rote kind of prayer, and it would go something like this. Now I remember John, because he was the last one. He said, "God bless Mommy, Daddy, Jocelyn, Jason, Jessica, John," that's himself, "Gideon," that's the dog, "and Murphy." Murphy was a cat that had died 3 years earlier. God knows that we need to bless our cats. Anyway, then he would bless somebody else, you know, like his grandparents or his friends. And he'd go into thanking God for the day and stuff like that. And it was kind of a rote kind of thing that you would say. But they all did it. They all did it. God bless. They would start out with God bless so-and-so, and they would go through a whole list of the family. Now, I used to think that was just rote. It was not really creative, but it, you know. But I've rethought some of that. I want you to think about what we do here in this church on Great Banquet weekends. We did it last weekend. We're going to do it next weekend. We have a list of names of men or women going through the banquet. And what we do is we pray for them, and we pray for them by name. We might as well say, "God bless so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so." But we read their name. Then we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit," because we want the Spirit to come. Now, you could say that's pretty rote, and in some ways it is. But I also know that that's creative, because God works through that kind of stuff. And when we get done, we pray for things that are going on in the context of that group and and women or men, whichever it is, and we lift them up to the grace, the throne of God. Is it rote or is it real? Another thing that we do, and at least I do it, is I always pray in Jesus' name. Because it is His name that prayer is answered. We know that from what He told us in Scripture. You know, I've been invited to say prayers at colleges and stuff like that over the years. I've had one or two of them say, "Well, we want you to pray, but you can't do it in Jesus' name." And I say, "No, I'm not doing it." Or I do it and I say it in Jesus' name. Sometimes it's a lot easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. But one of the things that I know is you pray in Jesus' name. We pray, take the prayers to the Father through Jesus. Father God has made you and I spokesmen for His blessings in this world. He said this to Abraham. He said, "I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing to the nations, and through you, Abraham, blessings shall be transmitted." And we're the seed of Abraham through the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are a people of blessing in this world. I had a woman one time call me up, and she wanted me to help her with something. Now, it turned out I was able to help her. I had to go out of my way a little bit in terms of how to finagle something and get it done and everything, but it wasn't a big deal in terms of my work. But she said, when I did it for her, she said, "God bless you, Jack Bitzer." Now, I've had people say that to me, "Oh, shucks," you know. But it was the way that she said it that kind of got my attention, and It made me smile. Not only was I able to help her, but there was a real blessing that came through that phone. And all she did was say, "God bless you, Jack Bitzer." Now, I am one of the priestly line, and so are you. I am part of the ministry of all believers, and so are you. I am one of God's children who can speak blessing on others, and so can you. And whenever we direct our blessings, life comes into being, because words have creative power. And it's time for us to be reminded of this, that we are people of blessing. And I want us to come to terms with the power of our speech and realize today that the Lord says to each of us, I want you to use your tongue. You are a steward of your tongue as well. I want that tongue to be an avenue of my life happening in other people. I want you to use it. He will teach us how to use our tongue. He will teach us how to use other gifts that he gives to us and that we have in terms of a life. But the tongue, we all have, and we can minister with that tongue. And he teaches us to be his disciples through word, through touch, and through deed. We're a blessing. We're called to be a blessing to those that we speak to, that we touch with our lives, indeed. So let me end with this. May God bless you real good. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be your people, to be your ministers, those to help advance and establish your kingdom in the lives of people around us, in our families, and in our church. We ask it in Jesus' name.